and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you look in verse number 12, if you're there, the Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again to the head, 'To the feet, I have no need of thee.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much for this church. And Lord, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the buses coming in and all the folks who've been touched by those. And God, I pray and thank you for giving the buses safety as we've prayed this morning and all week. God, I pray for all the Sunday school classes in session right now, that you'd please bless it. Dear God, I pray for me right now, that you'd give me the words of wisdom to say and ears of understanding to hear. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I know Pastor Jerry put on the sign that we'd be studying in Revelation, but I think I'm going to leave that for him, because I think he's got more interesting things to say as he studies Revelation than I do. I did take a class on it, though, and I thought about getting notes out, but like I said, I think he had better things to say. But I've taken my inspiration for today's lesson from one of my all-time favorite preachers, Pastor Robert Ross. I was looking through some books, and I was just racking my head all week. I said, you know, these folks, they're the people who have taught me. Many of these folks are the people who have given me the lessons, whether it was in Sunday school or out in the turkey barns or, you know, laying floor or wherever it was that I've gotten lessons. You know, these are the folks who have taught me. And I said, you know, Lord, I don't know, what can I even give them? And so I was looking through the books on my shelf, and I found this little pamphlet, and I'd just gone through and taken one of all the books that I had that I thought would be kind of interesting for me to sit down and read. And I found The Symphony, which is a message to the local church, and it's actually a sermon preached by Pastor Robert Ross. And this is an anniversary edition printed in 1995. And the story he tells is where Pastor Jerry in 1993 bought Pastor Robert Ross tickets to the symphony. And Pastor Robert Ross said, "Well, Jerry, I'm so glad you're taking your mother to the symphony for her birthday." And Pastor said, no, sir, I'm not. You're taking mom to the symphony." And Pastor Robert Ross, you know, you read the book, and he said, "I'm just a small country boy from Fillmore, and I've never been to a symphony, nor did I ever think I was going to go to a symphony. And I'm not going to read the whole book to you guys today, or I'm not going to preach the same message, but I was a musician. Many of you know that. Many of you have heard me play in church, but I played every day for the last 3 years of high school. I played when I was a fifth grader. I played when I was in sixth grade. And then when I got into high school, 7th through 11th grade, I played every single day of school, every single concert I was there. And so I have a great appreciation for music and the symphony. And this book here, it's got a great message. And so today I'm gonna bring you this wonderful message in my own light. And I hope you all enjoy that. So I would like to start. And Pastor Ross, you know, of course, he didn't know what to expect going to a symphony. And Pastor Jerry had actually gotten him a pamphlet. And in that pamphlet, it had five things where, you know, it said, you know, helpful things for you to go to the symphony. And so I'd like to read that part of the book real quick and just give you kind of a foundation about what kind of symphony he's going to. Here the book says, "My wife was so excited to be at the symphony. I couldn't help thinking of how much the word symphony was like the word sympathy. Anyone who goes to the symphony needs all the sympathy he can get. Anyway, I began to read the pamphlet. It does give you some ideas on how to enjoy the symphony. One of them was this: avoid overeating before a performance. Too much food may make you drowsy. I thought, that's good preaching. You know, some people come to church too full, get settled down and comfortable, and go to sleep. Now, don't get mad at me, because I know some of you men and ladies work hard, and you are tired when you get to church. It's warm here, and sometimes it's hard to stay awake. Since I'm preaching, I don't have any trouble with that. But I thought, this is a good instruction for the church. It really is. The next thing it said is, don't chat, whisper, or eat while the music is playing. Hey, that's good instruction. You know, if this is important at the symphony, a worldly gathering, don't you think it should be important at a church service? Then I read, now I don't want you to do this. This is actually what I'm just reading it word for word. Clap, whistle, and yell bravo when the music is over to let the musicians and conductor know you enjoyed and are at very least appreciated their efforts. It is also impolite to leave before the clapping is over. I got to thinking about this, and I don't want you to applaud, but a good hearty amen wouldn't hurt once in a while. I enjoy those amens. The next thing I read was this: once it gets started, you can't be seated. I mean, they won't let you in. They keep you out in the foyer area until there is a break in the music. You have to be on time to be seated. We noticed that when a break in the music came, the ushers brought some more people in and seated them, but they would not seat them while the music was playing. I thought, that's good preaching. It's good for us to be on time for church service and to be in our seats ready to hear the Word of God. And I know a lot of that instruction, you guys are in Sunday school today, so you guys have obviously heard that instruction before. And many of you, I think, in here, how many of you remember when Pastor Robert Ross preached that message? So many of you in here. Well, I'm going to give you one of my experiences. I never went to a symphony. I had the chance to, but I didn't get to go. But me and my wife, we were in the high school band at Duggar High School. And one of the things we got to do every year, one of the biggest things that we looked forward to every year, this was our trip, was the Tri-County Band Festival. Now, I know Brother Bud Bovenshin has been there before, and he enjoys maybe every now and then going. But what it is they take, I mean, there's Cloverdale there, there's Clay City, Linton, there was Sullivan, I think, and then us, and then North Central. And all the bands from the Tri-County that were available to come came to this one place. We all met at WRV usually, and they set out chairs. They had all the timpanis and all the percussion in the back, and they had all the chairs set up, and they told you where to sit. They had name cards in each place where you were supposed to sit, and that was our big trip for the year. I mean, we prepared from the 3 or 4 months before. As soon as that semester of school started, she had gotten the music, and we started practicing it, and that's one thing I always loved. I love to play music. I love to sing here in church. I love to play when I was in the band. You know, I enjoyed it all. Me and my wife, we got the chance. One of our band directors was big into marching bands, and we ended up getting to go. There's actually, now, I didn't have enough time or money to do this, but there's actually people who devote their lives to just playing in marching bands. And I'm not just talking about military bands. I'm talking about just groups of guys that get together. And we actually got the chance, our band director took us to one of those professional marching band shows where they would make shapes and they would play songs and they would play, you know, and they were marching around the field making all kinds of different shapes. You know, I've seen them make a horse and make the horse look like it was running across the field. I've seen them at Purdue. I got to go to Purdue, and they made what looked like a cannon, and they had a big bass drum they walked around, and they ran the big bass drum through the cannon light and made it sound like it shot off. And so I love music, and that Tri-County Band Festival and all the matching bands I've seen are just so impressive. And so I want to take my experiences, and I'll just tell you about my experience, and we'll walk through the scripture here about the church, and I'll give you a Sunday school lesson today about the church. And so I want to first talk about the beginning. And of course, I already told you about the band festival, but once we all got ready, and everybody was in their uniforms, sitting down, and the crowd started to gather, and, you know, of course, we'd already be sitting by the time the crowd got there, and everybody would be seated, and so they'd turn out the lights, they'd get ready for us to play, and before we'd even play, the person who hosted or whoever the spokesperson was, I think usually it was the conductor, would get up and he'd introduce everything. And, you know, one of the things I thought whenever I was thinking through this and reading the scriptures was, don't forget to introduce yourselves to our guest here at church. You know, if it was okay for that conductor to get up and say, you know, here is the music teacher from Union High School, here is the music teacher from Linton High School. And each one of them would stand, they'd be dressed nice, and they maybe you know, give a little bit of a nod or wave. But you know what? It was important for them to know who the band directors were, who invested in all these kids. And you know what? It's important for our visitors to know who you are. And so I remember when I first started coming to church, I had hair that covered my ears, and I think I wore dress clothes. I had a button-up shirt and some pants, but they didn't really fit me very well because it was the only pair I had. And I remember Isaac Walton and Josh Ross. I was there where Brother Nathan's sitting now, and I remember them introducing themselves, saying, "Hey, how are you doing? Who are you? Why are you here?" I said, "Well, I'm just here for that girl there," and I'd point up because Heather tricked me. Heather came, and she sat down on the front row, and she said, oh, here's where you sit." And she walked back. She said, "You can sit here three or four rows behind me." I said, "Well, I thought I was going to come to sit with you." She said, no, the girls sit down here. You wouldn't be able to sit down there with me." But it was good. The Lord used it. And I got to meet Brother Isaac Walton, Brother Josh Ross. And those are two guys who, they introduced themselves to me. I might have looked kind of rough or might have looked kind of silly, but they got to know me. And I want to encourage you folks, introduce yourselves. If you don't know who somebody is, go ahead and go up and shake their hand and say, "Hey, how are you? I'm so-and-so." And you might be like, "Well, I'm kind of nervous. I'm a shell kind of person, Brother Jesse. You know, I like to stay in my shell." And well, you know what? A lot of times, just saying hi will go a long way. And Romans chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Number two, one of the things that the director would do is he'd open up the pamphlet of, you know, what was going on that had all the songs on it, and he'd walk through and he'd be like, "Here's some songs we're singing. Here's a song that the band is particularly excited about playing. Here's a song that, you know, we've been working really hard on, and I hope it goes good." And he'd just talk to the crowd and tell them about the songs, tell them what songs we did good practicing. And, you know, I want to tell you guys, enjoy the program here at church. Amen. You know, Pastor Jerry, he is one of the best preachers that I hear on a regular basis. I mean it. You know, if there's somebody who just gets up in the pulpit and preaches every single Sunday to the same folks that I enjoy hearing, it's Pastor Jerry. I mean, I love hearing all the people on the radio when I listen to WYTJ. I enjoy going, and when me and my wife went on our honeymoon, we visited other churches. But you know what? Pastor Jerry, he's a hard preacher to find. You know, people like him are hard to find. And you know what? Enjoy the program here. We got a great song leader, Brother Tommy Walton. And you know what? We hear all kinds of stories. People remember him. You know, whether it's because of the way he leads the songs or how fast he leads the songs or what it is. But you know what? He's a good song leader. Amen. You know what? We got great Sunday school teachers, too. We got great church members here. One of the things, I'm not going to read through the whole book to find them. Excuse me. But one of the things, as I flip through this book, you know, this was written years and years before I even came to church. And Pastor Ross, you know, he talks about the ushers. And he talks about different parts of the church, about when he was pastoring. And the biggest theme throughout the whole thing is how much he loved this church. And you know what? I want to tell you, he loves the church, and he did love the church, and he preached it. And when he preached, he talked about how much he loved you folks. And you know what? Pastor Jerry, I know he feels the same way about his church. He loves every single person that comes here. He's so excited about who we have and what we're doing. And so, you know what? Enjoy the program, folks. We got great Sunday schools. We've got great children's programs. And number three is invest in the youth. They always take ample time to tell you of the music and its composers. And I'd like to read a portion. When Pastor Ross went to the symphony, they introduced the composer of the music they were playing. At about this time, a fellow came out on the stage and started talking about Mozart. "He's the one who wrote the music we were about to hear." Now, I knew it all the time, but Donna said, "Do you know who Mozart is?" I said, "Sure, I know who Mozart is. He's the fellow that led Israel out of Egypt." She said, "No, not Moses, Mozart." I said, "I don't know him. I've never met him before." She said, "You won't be meeting him tonight either." Anyway, this fellow said that Mozart died when he was 35 years of age. And he talked about Mozart's life. And he said when Mozart was 4 years old, he composed his first musical score. I know at the age of six, I did some research. At the age of six, Mozart played publicly. That was the first time he started playing publicly, was when he was 6 years old. That's amazing. I couldn't help but think about what young people can do for the Lord. Sometimes young children lead their peers to Christ. Little boys and girls can do that, you know. God can use us at any age for His glory. He said Mozart, even in his teenage years, had a lot of trials, tribulations, hardships, and troubles. I have no reason to believe that Mozart was a Christian, but those troubles and tribulations helped make him what he was. They even helped his ability to compose his music. Then I thought, yes, those teenage years are kind of rough, sometimes tough. But teenager, you don't have to be defeated in your teenage years, for we have a great God. We have some very special teenagers here in this church, and we have some great boys and girls too. Many of them, even at a young age, are leading others to Christ and committing their future life calling to Jesus Christ. Thank God for our young people. And I was thinking, you know, not only were the composers who composed much of the music that we listen to when it comes to classical music, Beethoven or Mozart or Bach, but you know what, a lot of those composers, yeah, they were young and they began playing very young and they accomplished a lot when they were young, but I also want to let you know that a lot of the musicians there at the band festival were very young. When I first came, I was in 7th grade, and you know, to think about intimidating, here's a 7th grader, and sometimes you'd be sitting by a 10th grader or a senior even, who's from Linton. You know, here I am from Duggar. There's more people in one class at Linton than there is in the whole school of Duggar, and I'm sitting next to a senior trying to play the saxophone next to him. I was like, man, you know what, I don't know if I can do this. You know, well, you know, but at the same time, I kept my head in it, and I kept playing, and eventually, someday, I was sitting there, and I met 7th and 8th graders from Cloverdale, and I remember sitting by them, and they were talking about how nervous they were coming, but, you know, here's a couple stories that I just love telling. You know, the young people, like Pastor Ross said, they can be used of the Lord too. Psalm 8 verse 2 says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Jesus in Matthew 21:16 says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And I had a teacher my freshman year at Bible college. His name was Paul Jorgensen. And we called him Brother PJ. He was Dr. Jorgensen's son. And Paul Jorgensen, he was kind of a stringy fella. He kind of had an odd personality. He was the Jorgensen's middle child, and we heard plenty of stories about how, you know, Mrs. J would tell plenty of stories about their older daughter, Sandra, and how, you know, she was the perfect child, and they tell a lot of stories about the youngest child, David, how he was a great athlete. But, you know, Brother PJ was there, and whenever they talk about Brother PJ, they just talk about how much they loved him and how glad they were that he was there. And, you know, Brother PJ, you know, he was a great guy, and he might not have had a lot of talents athletically, but one thing I noticed was he had a talent for soul winning. And that it was amazing. The guy, that was, like, he taught personal evangelism and he taught history. He was very intellectual and he was very good at that. But one thing that he was just always talking about was soul winning. He talked about, you know, about the house they were at, and he said, you know what? He's talking in Devos to the men. He's like, you know what? I just decided that I was going to make my street that I live on a missions field. And he talked about how he was witnessing to his neighbors. And eventually, on my bus route, we saw the fruits from that. Kids that he said, yeah, I don't let my son even talk to them because they're so bad. Years later, a couple years later, when I was a sophomore, when I was a junior, they were coming on our Sunday school bus. Kids that, because him and his wife were soul winners and just lived their life as soul winners. And one of the things that I am so impressed about Brother PJ was, Brother PJ, of course, he went through, just like Brother Reiser and Pastor Jerry has and many of you folks, and made sure that his kids got saved and understood the gospel. But something he did was he told his kids how to soul win. One of the sweetest stories I can think of was they were all at the mall. Lexington has, of course, Kentucky's largest mall, and it's pretty impressive. It's got a lot of stores, and, you know, there are a lot of college students work there. But Brother PJ was there because I think his wife worked there, and his kids were in the play center. And Brother PJ was telling the story, and he said, yeah, and my little daughter, I look over, she's playing with this little girl. They're in the play center. And of course, you know, they're in the play center. They just got a big square place carved out in the middle, and, you know, with a bunch of things that the kids can climb on and play on, and mats on the floor. And he noticed his daughter was playing with somebody, and he didn't think much about it, and he went about his business. And you look over, and all of a sudden, that little girl, she was only, I think, about 8 or 9 years old, but she had her head bowed with this little girl next to her, and her head was bowed. And he's looking over, and they prayed, and she came over, and she said, Daddy, you know, I was playing with my friend over there, so-and-so, and she just prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save her. And he said, wow. He said, so you just talked to her about the Lord? And she's like, yeah, Daddy, just like you taught me. Another story, he had his oldest son, Mark. Mark Jorgensen, that guy was a soul winner. But one day, Mark was playing with one of the neighborhood boys, and his mom called him in for dinner, and Mark was like, oh, hey, I got to go. And the kid was like, man, Mark, I sure wish we were brothers. And Mark said, well, you know, we can be. And he said, really? How's that? And Mark took his little New Testament, and he flipped through it, and he went down the Romans road, and he led that little boy to the Lord, and the little boy prayed and said, amen. And Mark looked at him, and he said, now you see, now we're brothers in Christ. And that little boy got saved. And I could go on, I could tell you countless stories. And, you know, that the Lord can use small children even. Even a wordless book where it's just colors and the kids are walking through. Well, this is what the white means, and this is what the red means. And you know what? I want to encourage you folks to invest in some of these bus kids. You know what? Mozart, you know what? He had hard times. I think he was the only surviving kid in the family. I think he had a sister, but that was it. And, you know, a lot of times we come on hard times. These bus kids have hard times. But you know what? If we invest in them, just like Mark Jorgensen, they can start being used of the Lord. I want to tell you about a little gal in Lexington. She reminds me a lot, actually, of Stephanie Pierce. And she's kind of ditzy. I make a joke, and she'll be like, huh? And I'll be like, nothing. Don't worry about it. It's all right. You know, she's got brown hair, but the way she talks, I think she's a blonde. I really mean it. You know, I'll make a simple joke, and she'll just be like, huh? And she'll look at me just like, what do you mean? Like, just so confused. But, you know, her name is Brianna Fox. Brianna Fox, she'd come to church a lot as a little girl riding the bus. In fact, our bus driver, he'd been driving that bus route for 20 years, and he said, yeah, I remember her when she was coming stair-stepped with her two brothers, and now she's coming stair-stepped with her two little younger siblings, and she'd come to church. And, you know, as a teenager, I think she was about 14 or 15 when me and Heather started visiting her. And she was only there every other weekend, but we got her coming, and all of a sudden she got saved. And then she got baptized, excuse me. And all of a sudden, you know, 3 or 4 months later, you know, we got her pictures in to give her because she got baptized. And, you know, she went to a youth retreat. And, you know, the Lord just really worked powerfully in her heart. It was just a Friday, Saturday youth retreat. And she called Heather that afternoon, or maybe we talked Sunday morning. She was like, Miss Heather, you would not believe it. It was so awesome. She's like, I was bawling my eyes out Friday night at service. She's like, there's a girl next to me that got saved. And she was crying her eyes out. But you know what? These kids that come on the bus, they don't just have it easy. You know, you might be like, well, they're kids. You know, their parents take care of them. Well, you know, Brianna Fox, you know, she had a great dad and a great mom, and they did take care of her. But she went to school at a public school in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. And one day she was sitting there. She was starting to wear a skirt. She was making decisions. And me and Heather were just there to talk to her whenever she needed to. But she was making all these decisions on her own. And one day we were there, and she was like, yeah, you know, I had some problems at school. And we were like, well, what kind of problems do you have? And she said, well, I was praying for my food, and I got done, and, you know, a teacher saw me and came over and started talking to me and said, what were you just doing? She said, well, I was praying. And they were like, well, you're not allowed to do that here. This is an atheist school. And thankfully, you know, they were like, you need to quit praying. But she kept praying. You know, she's not really a loud girl, so I know that when she tells me that she wasn't pushing it. But here's a little 15-year-old girl that goes to public school in Kentucky, and she has great parents, but she's still going through trials. They were going to give her detention, send her all the way to detention, after school detention, because she was praying. So we prayed for our bus kids, but thankfully her dad went in there and stuck his finger in the administrator's face or whatever. But, you know, she's gotten taken care of, and she's still working. If you want to pray for her, her name is Brianna Fox. But be praying for our young people. Be praying for our bus kids. Be praying for our church kids. They're all important. And one of the last thing about the beginning of it is, you know, somebody else usually comes up and talks about the conductor himself. They'll say, well, this is so-and-so, and he's from Ball State University, and he's been conducting for this many years, he's been doing this for this many years, and he is an expert. I want to encourage you folks, love your leaders. Love the leaders here at the church. I talk about so much how much I love Pastor Jerry, and you know what, I love Pastor Fugit. Down there for 3 years, and that man, you know, sometimes I made some really dumb decisions, and he'd have to put his arm around me and be like, now, Jesse, I heard about this. I mean, are we going to have a problem? And I'd be out there in front of the church, and I was just like this. I'd be like, no, sir. No, sir, Pastor Fugit, I'm taking care of it. Yes, sir. No, sir, I'm all right. Yes, sir. And then when I got married, he'd always put his arm around me, and when he'd shake hands and shake my hand, he'd be like, now, young lady, if you're talking to my wife, he's like, if you need to take him in for a tune-up, bring him in whenever you want to. And I love Pastor Fugit. He's a good preacher. He's doing a lot down there. Love your leaders. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We should be honoring our political and our real life, our bosses. We ought to be honoring them. We ought to honor all men, it says. What's the Bible say about our pastors and our teachers here at church? It says 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that do well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And then, of course, now we're getting to the meat of it, the performance. My favorite part. We're finally going to get to play. We've been practicing since January. It's almost time for the kids to graduate now. I'm so happy we're playing this together as a group. You know, That whole day, in fact, we not only practice from January to whenever it is, but that whole day, we skip school that day, and we come in at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning at WRV, set all our stuff out, get ready, and we practice from 8 till about 3 or 4. We take a lunch break in there, but we practice all day trying to get ready for the performance. But it was a symphony. The word symphony means agreeing in sound, harmonious together, harmony of sounds. And here's some things that I want to pull out from the performance of all these instruments. Some of you have been there. Some of you have seen it. Maybe you've only been to a football game. And you know what? Those kids, they practice every day too. They're every single day in school. If you go to a high school game and you see the pep band playing, those kids have to practice. If you've ever just even watched on TV and heard the orchestra in the background, maybe you're a big Looney Tunes fan. You hear that music in the background. Well, that music, you know, you might say, well, Brother Jesse, those cartoons, they're not quite as intelligent as we are, so we don't watch it. But, you know, you listen in the background of some of those old Looney Tunes, you hear a band. You hear instruments. You hear the drums. You hear classical music. But so whatever it is, just think about it. Just think how all the music comes together. And here's some things we can get from it. All the instruments are tuned to one instrument. Whenever the band gets together, it's not like I play my instrument and this guy tunes himself to me and then this guy tunes himself to me. What it is when we all come together to tune, they choose one instrument and they play. Maybe it's a piano and they hit the note. All right, everybody, do you hear that? They hit it again. Tune your instruments to that one note. Honey, if you want to go ahead and start putting together the instruments. Now, I've got my instruments here today for an illustration that I'm going to set up. But, of course, all the instruments are tuned to one instrument. And just as the instruments in a band should be all tuned to one instrument, we as Christians coming to the church, we ought to all be tuned to one spirit. You know, why would we come to church and, you know, maybe be going against the Spirit of the Lord? And, you know, we know we're living our life and that God doesn't like it. And then we come to church and, you know, we're acting like that. Well, what's the Bible say, Brother Jesse? Well, let's read. If you look at our text verse, let me talk about, you know what? In order to be tuned to one instrument, there's got to be some adjustments made. In verse number 24 and 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. Well, actually, let's look right here. First in verse 12 and 13. It says, "For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit." One Spirit, folks. You know what? We come to church together, or we come all together at once, and we sing the songs we do. You know why? Because the Lord, He wants us to be in one accord. He wants us all to be tuned to the Spirit of the Lord. Adjustments are to be made. You know what? You got them ready? In order to get your instrument tuned, one of the things you have to do is you have to adjust the instruments. So today, I brought my wife's instrument, her clarinet. Now, I'll try to do this without letting it fall. And then I brought my instrument, the saxophone. Now, I'll start with the saxophone, but when you start tuning it to the instrument, you say, well, the sound's not right. What do? Well, there's all kinds of things. You look at all these buttons on here. I don't even know what half of them do, but one thing that they taught me was, first of all, you got to make sure that you look, make sure that the mouthpiece is on there right. You say, well, it's a little flat. You push it in. It's a little sharp. You pull it out. My wife's instrument, it's actually, mine's fancier, but hers is actually a lot more complicated. My instrument has two pieces I put on. Hers has the bell, has the two middle sections, has the top section, and then it has the mouthpiece with the reed on it. And if she needs to have a better sound, she can pull this down here out. Well, that's still not right. She can pull it up here. You know what? If it's that simple for instruments, just think, you know what? For Brother Jesse, I look at my life, and I know that I don't always do everything the Lord wants me to. But my dad, he taught me simply. He's like, you know, the Lord, He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to work with you. And you know what? Here are these instruments. All you got to do is adjust them. Sometimes all we got to do is sit down before or after church. You know, maybe we hear a good sermon that really gets us. But we got to make the adjustments. You can't just be like, well, it sounds good enough. You know, if you get a bunch of people in an orchestra and they're all like, well, my instrument sounds good enough, then it's just going to be chaos. I'm going to move on. They're not only instruments are tuned, but you know what? There's a unity in timing. Just as our hearts should be tuned to the Lord, our bodies should be timed together in our actions. group soul winning, group prayer, group Bible study. All these things are where we all come together at one time and do the same thing. Well, you know what? In an instrument, in a band, everybody's on the same count. They might not be playing together, but right now, our Sunday schools are in session. Brother Chad Gordon is readying for Children's Church. We're all together in time. Number two, something about the performance that I noticed is some parts are more prominent than others. And you know what? I got to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who puts this church together. Because without any one of you, it could just not be as well as it was. You know what? Without one instrument in the orchestra, without that instrument in the orchestra, it would just be that one. You know what? Paul said it so simply. He said, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you." He says, you know, if all the body were hearing, then there'd be no smelling. We need each and every person to come together to make this church. In 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 23, the Bible says, "Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." Verse 23, "And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." Next thing I notice is the final performance is only a result of much practice. You know what? We ready months ahead. We ready that whole day. Number four, all instruments are different, but have their own place. In fact, if you're a music student, you notice there's actually a certain place for each instrument to set. There's a place for the trumpets to set. They always set behind certain instruments. If you look, the clarinets or the flutes and then the clarinets, and then I can look at it now in my head and I remember where they all were, and you put the percussion in the back. There's a place for us all. But of course, Pastor Ross, he goes on in his book here, talks about how, you know what, even the ushers, he talked about how important the ushers were, how much he loved the ushers, how friendly they were. He talked about how at the symphony, there was somebody, they were all dressed up, they were in uniform, but they would run out in between songs and move a piano. Sometimes they'd even, I don't know what they'd use, but they'd stick something underneath the platform that the conductor was on, and they'd move it to where he could be better in a position. You know what? There's all these people who they come together. You know, for Tri-County Band Festival, somebody had to set up the chairs. And you know what? If they had us high school students set up those chairs, they wouldn't be straight. They wouldn't look as nice as whenever they set them up. They'd just be all over the place. You know what? Every single part is important. And the Lord is going to, He's going to give out the rewards. He's going to do the judging someday. So if you're like, well, no one sees me do this, the Lord sees it. He's going to reward you. All the performers are uniformed. If you were to be used, you must be uniformed. You know what? The Bible says that God, he sees all these people who are lost. And, you know, every now and then God, you know, he uses them, but he doesn't use them to quite the extent that he can use a saved person. You know what? Before my dad got saved, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that he convinced that they should be a Christian. They saw how wicked he was living, and maybe they said, well, you know, I see how his life is going. I should probably be saved. But there's a lot of times where after he got saved, he'd go to somebody that, maybe he knew done drugs. You know, my dad, he didn't get mixed up with it, but he knew a lot of those people. And he went to them and he'd be like, you know, hey, look, me and you, we work at the same factory, and I want to let you know, I got saved. I'm different. Amen. You know, the Lord can really use you, but you got to have the uniform on. You know, me and my wife, we couldn't have gone out there just wearing a t-shirt and jeans. In fact, we couldn't have gone out there to play at the Tri-County Band Festival in our church clothes. They had a uniform you're supposed to wear. They had something that you're supposed to do. Number seven, the performers are center stage. Lights, the cameras, the pressure, it's all on the performers. Just like that, as Christians, the Bible says in Matthew 3:14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It was kind of nerve-wracking being there. And, you know, one of the fun things is always trying to look through the crowd of musicians, first of all, and be like, I wonder if I see anybody from my school. The uniform for the Tri-County Band Festival was your school marching band uniform. So everybody from Duggar was wearing black and gold. Everybody from Lenton was wearing the red and white. Everybody from Cloverdale was wearing the green. So, you know, it's kind of we were all in the uniform, but you could tell different schools apart. And I'd look through and I'd be like, well, I see my friend over there in the trumpet section. Or I can see our drummer back there playing on the timpani. Or I can see, oh, well, there's Heather over in the clarinet section. Usually that was straight across. So I spent a lot of time looking that way. And you know what? And then after that, you'd look at the crowd. And that was the gymnasium there. They were seated everywhere, and it was kind of scary sometimes, but you can look through and be like, well, there's John Delph's mom. Or there's Heather's parents. Well, there's my mom and dad. Well, there's my dad. And it was really exciting. Well, I want to let you know that, you know what, that's what they're doing right now in heaven. They're looking down, and they're being like, well, let's see who's in church this morning. Let's see what they're doing on Saturday. You know what? You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know what? We don't stick the light underneath a bushel. That would take the point away from it being a light. We don't let Satan blow it out because that would take the point away from it being a light. And in closing, I'll close with this and then I'll pray and let you guys do whatever people do between Sunday school and church. I can't remember. Right here. Last page of the book. I've almost ruined this book for you, but it's a good book. You should still read it. 1 Corinthians 12:18 reads, but now God hath set members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. This is what Robert Ross said. He says, you see those playing in the symphony? We're doing everything they could to do it right, so it would be well-pleasing. And we ought to do everything we can to live and do right and be well-pleasing to our Lord. Remember what the word symphony means? It means agreeing in sound, harmonious together, to harmony of sound. That's the way God wants His church to be. That's the way He wants us to be. It won't be like that unless you are willing to do your part and agree in sound for His glory. I got to thinking that night, what if some members of the symphony had not decided to show up? I didn't see one empty chair up there. They came because they were all needed. I say to you, you and I are needed in the house of God every service. Every time the doors are open here, you and I need to be here to honor the Lord. I'm going to pause right there. I want to let you know, in the original orchestra, the saxophone wasn't a part of it. You know, if you look at the original layout, they had the trumpets, they had the clarinets, they had all the other instruments that you'd think of, the trombones, the tubas, the flutes, the bassoons, the violins, everything had to go together, but the saxophone was invented later on. And you know what, I read that verse about how neither Jew nor Greek, the Lord is rich unto all. You know what, God's house isn't like that. You can be whatever kind of instrument, you can have whatever kind of person, and you're welcome here. I'll finish this up. I also thought of the dedication it took for them to be able to play their best. It must have taken hours and hours of study and practice to play like they did, hundreds of hours of practice to be able to play the music sweet and beautiful as they did together that night. Then I thought how we should dedicate our lives and discipline ourselves to live and practice Christianity on a daily basis, to do it right for Him. One last verse of Scripture before I close. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9:24. I'm going to go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And verse 25 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He said right here, Paul did, they're striving for the mastery. They're striving for a corruptible crown. They were practicing and playing music. Me and my wife, we practiced and played music for a corruptible crown. They wanted the applause of men and they got it. Are we striving for an incorruptible crown? Those who are playing in the Super Bowl, they're doing it for a corruptible crown. That's all they've got. But we should strive for that incorruptible crown. And he closes with an illustration there that I'm not going to close with, but I wanted to bring you guys something that would touch my heart. And I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep reading, but thank you all for being here. I'll be preaching again in Sunday school next week in case you want to bring a pillow or a blanket. Thank you all for being here, and I'm going to go ahead and pray and dismiss us. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for all the folks who came today. I pray and ask that you bless them and give them strength. Give Brother Reiser wisdom and power as he preaches today, and Brother Chad as he fills in while Pastor Jerry's gone. Dear God, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.